Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The collect for today, Quinquagesima, the Sunday next before Lent. You have this in your order of service and you have just heard it. But I'll read it again, because it's a collect that, in my view, you can't have too much of. O Lord, who has taught us that all our doings without charity are nothing worth, send thy Holy Ghost, and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whosoever liveth is counted dead before thee. Grant this for thine only Son, Jesus Christ's sake. This collect was written by Thomas Cranmer and echoed in its language and thought the Epistle, which is St. Paul's famous hymn of love that you've also just heard, beginning, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and ending, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. We would most naturally these days say love, as charity has gained a very specific meaning since the time of the prayer book, but the meaning is clear. Whether love or charity, it is the virtue that underpins all virtues, summed up in the collect as that most excellent gift. The love that we pray for is described in the collect as the gift of God's overflowing generosity, the gift of the fullness of the Spirit. Send thy Holy Ghost, we pray, and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love. It is this breadth and generosity of love, emphasized by the word poured, that emphasizes its expansive, universal quality. For some, there will be a person for whom romantic love is intensified on this particular Quinquagesima Sunday, because it coincides with St. Valentine's Day. But, as an online florist reminded its customers recently, romantic love isn't the only kind that deserves to be celebrated this Valentine's. This is true, and the virtues listed in the epistle are to do with how we relate to everyone, how we behave towards them, and how we think of them. The epistle brings out the excellence of love over other virtues by personifying it as kind and long-suffering. It is free from envy and boastfulness, immoderate behaviour, touchiness and malign thoughts and evil. Instead, it is truthful, ever hopeful and patient. It goes beyond our own personal gifts and enterprises and generally focuses on optimism, on what is good and seeing the best in people. And if we aspire to good works, they should be performed with love, the very bond of peace, as the collect calls it. So the ways in which we should treat each other well, as summed up in the epistle, and avoid treating them badly, amount to the biblical command to love our neighbour. And if the epistle is concerned with loving our neighbour, so, by implication, is the collect. If you're wondering, though, where loving God comes in, there is another collect for the sixth Sunday after Trinity, in which we shall pray again for love to be poured into our hearts. But there our prayer is that love is poured into us so that in turn we may love God. This collect and today's collect each use the image of God pouring the generous, overflowing gift of his love into our hearts, and together they convey the whole of the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbour. So far we have thought about the essence of love, lived out in our aspirations to love God and to love our neighbour. This could apply to any season, any time of year, but how is it especially applicable to Lent? The collect has a brightness that stands out in the midst of pre-Lent apprehension. It does not anticipate Lent and penitence. It doesn't warn us of punishments. It doesn't mention fasting. It is entirely about love. It ensures that before we enter the self-examination and penitence of Lent, we know that love remains the most important virtue. However much we may feel diminished by our shortcomings and failings in our lives, or specifically in our ability to exercise true Lenten penitence, our prayer this Sunday has been for love. And living up to the demands of love gives us a positive aim in Lent, alongside and informing our Lenten discipline. We have looked at the Collect and Epistle, but the Gospel also takes on a distinctive character when read just before Lent. It's not surprising that at this juncture, the Gospel should set the Apostle, the disciples, and us on the road to Christ's Passion. Christ sets out for Jerusalem, warning his disciples of his trial, torture, death, and resurrection. But he does not dwell on the suffering to come. The next thing that happens is that a blind man pleads to be given his sight. This Jesus does. He shows compassion, love, just as he embarks on the darkest journey of his life, and just as he has disclosed his fate to his disciples. The Gospel, then, gives us Christ's action as an example of love prevailing and as a sort of parable, bringing us back full circle to the message of love we have heard in the Collect and Epistle. But there is a bigger circle as well. After the Collect for today, love does not appear in any Collect until Palm Sunday, when we are reminded of God's tender love towards mankind in sending his Son to live and die as a man. Through Christ's life and death on earth, the Collect says, he gives us examples of humility and patience that we can recognise as the manifestations of the love described in today's epistle and that we pray to follow. Lent, then, is framed by collects in which love comes to the fore. For now, though, Palm Sunday is a long way ahead. It is this Sunday's Collect, Epistle and Gospel that prepare us for going into Lent. With St. Paul's powerful and beautiful presentation of the nature and working of love, Cranmer's succinct summary in the Collect, and the example in the Gospel of Christ's compassion and love, let us pray that in the midst of our inward Lenten self-discipline, we also look outwards to the people close to us and in the world at large. Let us hold on to the positive vision of love, that most excellent gift, in all our thoughts and words and deeds. In the name of God.